All right, it is time for the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And JC, we crowned some district champs last night in high school football. Northern Michigan is alive and well, and we have one of those victorious coaches with us right now, Cody Mallory of the victorious Cadillac Vikings. With a great win against Whitehall in Cadillac fashion, won 24-14. Coach, give us the general synopsis of the game.
They're a pretty physical team. They come off a pretty big win with Sparta. They beat them 40-20, and so we knew that defensively they're pretty tough. They also have a guy at quarterback that can play pretty well. So we got up on them early, 17-0 after. A turnover and an onside kick, and then they kind of got the momentum back on us right before the half and coming out of the half, and got to within 3 points, and then about 4 minutes left in the game, we put the final touchdown in to be able to seal it up. And it was pretty tough physical game. We had to move some guys around, play some spots we maybe weren't familiar with, and I was just really happy with how our guys persevered throughout.
Yeah, Coach, of course, you play a real tough regular season schedule, and by playing that tough physical schedule against bigger schools, it really prepares you well for these playoffs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of the that's one of the downsides to losing the Traverse Cities out of the Big North Conference. We felt like those two games really help us prepare and evaluate where we are in terms of what we need to do to make a run in the playoffs. And so that's going to be a challenge for us going forward, is scheduling replacement games for those, and making sure that we don't lose that edge that we gain by playing schools that are in some cases twice our enrollment. And so that's very, very important for our development.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, I was really impressed. I got a chance to obviously watch one of your games this year, and you guys really are very physical, especially, a Division IV team. I mean, you guys can compete with the Division IIs and Division Is, and, what you guys may lack at size at certain times or in certain areas, man, you guys come out and you guys let your shoulder pads do the talking.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we really, we really emphasize playing slow pads and being really physical. We have to with playing in our league. And, because if we're not going to be able to play high against Traverse City Central, against Petoskey, against any of those guys, you have to play slow pads and you have to play a violent style of football. And, so that's a point of emphasis for us. And, I think if you were to swing by practice, you'd hear a ton of coaching points on pad level because that's what it takes.
Yeah. And Coach, you guys, you guys have been at home the last couple of games, which is always nice. Now you guys get to travel on the road to Hudsonville Unity Christian. That's what have you done to prepare these kids, for these bigger road games, especially now where it's win or go home?
This is no big deal. I mean, we've got two conference games that are longer bus rides than the one we're going to take. Game's actually being played at Jenison High School. Unity Christian doesn't have their own field. So, it's a normal Friday night for us. I feel like the travel isn't a thing. It's the team you're playing and it's pretty good Unity Christian team. They put up a lot of points. They're probably the most athletic Power T team I've ever seen. They pack it in there, and they have the ability to send a running back over the top in the passing game, and really athletic group. It'll be a good challenge for us. But we've been in that position before, where we're the underdog, and we've been able to be successful in it. So it's just a matter of going out and doing it.
Sounds like you've already seen some tape on these guys, Coach.
We've been collecting it throughout the year, so kind of. And I could tell, if we got to this point, that's who it was going to be. And so, you got to look down the road a little bit.
Coach, how much
getting to the state finals and not making, you know, not finishing the task off and winning a state championship. How much has that been the underlying motivation for this year?
I don't know that I think early that was a big deal. I think as you get into the season and, you know, it gets pretty chaotic week in and week out. It's, I don't know, it feels like every week is a different season. And so by the time you get to the mid season, anything that happened last year is irrelevant and forgotten. And so, right now it's just a matter of, you know, like we've played some pretty tough teams this past couple weeks. You know, Fruitport was an amazing 4-5 team, that you can't take lightly. They had some injuries midseason that really hurt the record, but they, you know, they were healthy when we saw them and they're pretty dang good. And so, like, if you start looking back in the rearview mirror and then you're going to get slapped by those teams. And so, I think our kids have done a pretty good job of just, you know, realizing this is a new team and, you know, we got to put our own stamp on it.
Coach, we have a pretty wide audience listening to us here on Up North Sports Radio. So, for the benefit of those that don't really know your team, tell us a little bit about some of the players that have really been the spark for what's been so far a great season.
Well, we've been getting pretty good linebacker play from Colin Johnson, who's a senior, excuse me, Keenan Marr and Chris Reinhold, who are juniors, but I think, like, the most consistent group that we've had has been our defensive line. They do a very good job of getting pressure on quarterbacks. We probably had more sacks this year than we've had in my time here, and that's we've got a junior, Derek Rude, at that defensive end, and Trenton Dennis, a senior, at the other, and then two seniors inside, Blake Swiger and Jay Goulish, with a bunch of, and we're pretty deep there too. I think that unit's been our most consistent, and then, you know, our offensive line has been pretty consistent for us too. We start four seniors there and one junior right now. And also our quarterback just really running the show, Aiden Gurdon, number 7. He's a senior, 3-year starter for us. You know, he's been, he missed 3 games in the middle of the season, with, some quarantine stuff. But, you know, when he's here, he really makes our offense go. You know, it's been a pretty, we really don't have any superstars. It's just a bunch of guys doing their job. And so, like, if you look at our stat lines, you're not going to see anybody jumping out as a, I don't think we've got a 1,000-yard rusher, but we run the ball for probably about 300 yards a game just because we distributed it out to a bunch of different dudes. So, you know, it's a bunch of nobodies putting in work for each other.
Right. And Coach, you know, that head coach, Cody Mallory of the Cadillac Vikings with us. And Coach, you absolutely just led me right into the next question. You said you run for almost 300 yards a game. That's exactly what happened last night. And that's spread out among 6 different players. So teams can't key on one player for you guys. When you spread it out like that, Coach, with different guys doing it, man, that just makes the overall team that much better.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one of the things that we try to do is just make sure that we have as, you know, we give guys a lot of breaks. And so getting depth at the running back spots, we're cycling guys in all the time. And, you know, we just try to keep those guys fresh so that they can play well on defense. And, you know, we really, really hang our head on what we do defensively. And we need those guys fresh so that they can get the opponent offense off the field.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And you talked about the overall team defense, and you got linebackers on number 40 really stuck out to me in the game that I watched. That's a kid that was flowing to the ball in on almost every tackle. Real impressive young man.
Yeah, he's that's Colin Johnston. He's a 4-year starter for us. You know, he's been a pretty big part of this program.
Coach, you gave us a little rundown on Hudsonville, so without giving away too many, I know Hudsonville's probably listening to this radio program. But so it sounds like they have a pretty wide open attack. You're going to have to play your typical game, good defense, run the ball, and try to play keep away.
Yeah, it's wide open, but it's all out of 32 personnel, so they're rolling with 2 tight ends and 3 backs.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, so, you know, they run the ball really well, and then as soon as you start creeping up They're fast enough to get over the top on you. And, you know, just looking at, just quickly flipping through their games from the past 2 weeks, you know, there's a lot of two-play drives, three-play drives, just really explosive.
Wow.
You know, and so it'll be a challenge. And, you know, but like I said, we've been in this spot before. And, you know, we're excited to have another opportunity to play.
Right. And, Coach, another thing that's impressed me with the Cadillac Vikings, you guys aren't afraid to play close games. You guys, I mean, you're going to play a Hudsonville team that's yet to taste defeat. Yeah, but, Coach, you have no problem going into the fourth quarter with a 14-10 game, 17-14, whatever. You guys play low-scoring games, and it doesn't bother you in the least bit.
No, I mean, we've been in those games quite a bit this year, and you know, like that's like we try to control the ball. Like we're not about. I don't really care what the score is. I mean, I just want to win. And so, we try to just control the clock. We run, you know, emphasize ball control and time of possession. And you know, I think that's important. I think it's an overlooked thing. You know, we often get starry eyed with throwing the ball all over the yard and. There's some good to that, but at the end of the day, you know, we want to make sure that we're efficient, and so we're constantly tracking our efficiency numbers, and one of the things that keeps us efficient on both offense and defense is time of possession, and so if we have the ball, you can't score, and so that's a way that, like, you know, we don't look at offense and defense as two different arenas. We try to help the other side of the ball with what we're doing, you know, and so you know, that's a big part of what we do. And, yeah, I mean, so it does lead to some low scoring, close games. But, we'd love to get 35 on our team, get a running clock every game, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, we just want to win. And so, we emphasize efficiency and time possession and see where it gets us.
Coach, you mentioned a little bit ago that you had to move some kids around in the game last night. How's your overall health?
We're all right. We're healthy.
Okay. Everybody has a lower body injury that we're not specific about. Coach Cody Mallory from the Cadillac Vikings, thanks for taking some time out and joining us here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. Best of luck next week as you continue your advance, hopefully back to Ford Field.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Go Vikes.
Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Again, head coach Cody Mallory of the victorious Cadillac Vikings last night. Is again, next week they will take on Hudsonville Unity Christian, and he said they're going to play at Jenison. Yes. Yep. So that's
there's a lot of Christian schools, like I was telling you, kind of, brother, we never had we had a practice field, but no state, you know, no stands for a team at Brother Rice. We either played at Groves or Seaholm.
Right. And there's another similar situation going on when we talk to Eric Sugars from TC Central. Of course, they won big last night. Now they got to play Caledonia next, and their home field is not in good condition right now. So they're going to go to Granville and play. So for next
really?
Week.
Really? So TC Central doesn't have enough points to stay
no,
at the
No.
Wow.
Caledonia is, they've lost one game all year, and that was to number one Rockford by 3 points.
Wow.
And so, and they play their conference foes. So that's Coach Sugars when we talk to him today.
Yeah, we're going to have him in about 10 minutes.
Okay, perfect. But he'll tell you Caledonia is the real deal. And so, but it'll be played at a field turf field similar to Thurlby, all of that. A little bit older. That one's about 10 years old. That's the one that Wes played on just last week. And a little bit older, but still in good shape. But, yeah, Caledonia's field is not in good working order.
Wes only had one loss, too, correct?
Who, Central? Yeah, Central's
yeah.
On. Yes,
yeah.
But yes, all about the points, though.
Wow.
And then with them playing the Rockford at Division One, all of that, you know what I mean? Those playoff points really mean everything now.
No, I don't know how they calculate it, but it's you know it better than I do. A surprise, I don't know if it was surprising. We talked about it yesterday, Rich, But Sterling Standish laid the wind in Boeing City.
To me, I mean, I that was a shocker last night.
Even the score, I mean, they got kind of rubbed.
That's exactly right. I mean, I really thought that the momentum that Boeing had by winning that close, hard-fought game, but it almost like that emotional win almost took something out of them.
You know, that happens. You know, there's a lot of that discussion going on at the next level for Michigan State today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never know how the team is going to handle a huge win. I know there was a lot of talk about the revenge tour that Boeing City had, and Standish did not really have a stunning record.
No, they were like 7-2 at the end of the regular season. Their playoff points weren't highly impressive. They got the number one seed. That helps. But they were just a few playoff points above both Grayling and Boeing City. And so I thought, well, that's a pretty good draw. You know, overall, it's a good
district.
Yeah, it
looked like whoever wins that first game between Boeing City and Grayling has a really decent chance.
Would be the favorite. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I truly expected Boeing to go down to Standish and win that game. But, hey, give credit to the Panthers. What a huge win for them.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of information on the game.
No.
But I would imagine there was turnovers involved. I tell Rich, every moment I can get it out of my mouth, it's all about turnovers. No matter what level the game is at, everything boils down, every sport boils down to possession.
Yeah, it does. And Coach Cody Mallory, we just had, absolutely, that's how Cadillac wins games. They take the ball, they control it, they don't give it up, you don't turn it over, and they just drain that clock. You know, and that could have been what, you know, with Standish winning 34-14 over Boeing City last night.
Yeah, no matter what the sport is, that's why, you know, Tom Izzo emphasizes rebounds. Sometimes State will turn the ball over a lot, but they always win the rebound category, so that there's extra possessions.
Yep.
Don't turn the ball over. Take advantage of the one or two turnovers that you get. The Red Wings, why they were the most successful team in hockey for 25 years is they emphasize the possession of the puck.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the more you boil it down, the simpler it is.
Right.
I got the ball. I'm not giving it back to you until we score, or we're going to punt the hell out of it.
When you saw the Russian Five come into play with, you know, all of that, they, like you said, don't just dump and chuck it into the corners and try to fight for it like that. You can pass the puck backwards. Control of the puck. When you have control of the puck, the other team can't score. And eventually they grew frustrated, and the Wings obviously went off and had a dynasty.
Yeah, not to belabor the point, but Scotty Bowman had it easy when he was with the Montreal Canadiens. They just naturally were way better, so they always had the puck. Yeah. Then when he got to Pittsburgh and then started to figure out, well, these guys aren't as good, started watching the Russian style of play and said, well, this is the best way to play the game. Just like, you know, Belichick, don't turn the ball. Vince Lombardi, we're just going to pound it down your throat. It's a pretty simple formula.
It is, yeah.
And obviously it's doing Cadillac some good, and not to speak out of turn, but that would be my guess about what happened at Boeing City Standish Sterling.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And until we find out, like you said, some details, JC, and with everything going on with that. But that was the shocking score of the night. For me, looking at our area teams here, I expected Boeing to go down there and get that win, but it will be interesting to find out some of the details.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll head to take a quick break.
Okay, all right. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. More of that in just a moment. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne with you, and, you know, some of the other scores and teams that we follow, JC, obviously, involved here, and that's why we do. Kingsley won big 32-6 over Clare last night, and that was the game, obviously, Kingsley hosted. Clare had that big emotional win against undefeated Gladwin the week prior. They went into Gladwin and absolutely dominated the Flying G's and gave them their first loss. And speaking of a little bit of revenge, that was the revenge game that Clare had lost to Gladwin in the regular season. Gladwin got their first Jack Pine championship since, I think, 1980. So that was a huge win for them, and unfortunately may have led to a letdown at home. They hosted that. The Flying G's were at home. all that, and Claire went down there and absolutely took care of them.
Yeah, you know, it, again, we mentioned it in the last segment, probably what happened to Boyne City, same thing that kind of happened to Claire, although Kingsley is a very good football team, and they might have the inside track to Ford Field.
That's another team. When we talk about teams controlling the ball and taking the air out of the ball, that's like when you possess it and you don't turn it over, the other team can't score. So, and that's certainly Tim Wooer's recipe for success over with the Stags. And I also wanted to mention something also. Last night in the game, the score with that, again, 32-6 win, a young man, Mr. Schuler, scored a touchdown at the end, and his mother had just passed away the night prior. So, and he was able to get in the end zone, played in the game, and so what an emotional win it was for a huge crowd there in Kingsley, J.C. I mean, just an incredible emotional thing. A parent passes away the night before the game. And
especially in such a tight-knit community as Kingsley. We had that a similar situation when I was growing up. A junior on our basketball team's mom died during the season. And, you know, when you're in a locker room and spending so much time, it just becomes a whole family, bigger extended family situation.
Yeah, it's amazing how that helps unify. In tragedy, brings unity and it brings everyone together. And good for that young man to be able to set that aside, the emotion aside initially, score a touchdown in a huge win for Kingsley. So good for them. They have a huge game, though. They got to go take on tough Frankenmuth now.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I don't know much about that Frankenmuth team other than the fact that they're always really good.
Yes. Just for comparisons, they had 62 playoff points compared to Kingsley's 48.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a huge difference in the formula they use to figure these points out. So, yeah, Frankenmuth, 11-0, they're certainly the real deal.
Yeah, that's going to be one of those spotlight games that we talked to Harrison Beebe and James Cook about from the Record Eagles. So, going to be some exciting times here coming up as a lot of the Northern Michigan teams continue the march to Ford Field. Let me get Coach Eric Sugars on the phone, Rich.
Okay. All right. Yeah, of course, another game that we had up in Northern Michigan over at Thurlby Field was Bay City Western came north to take on Traverse City Central, the Trojans over there. And I tell you what, Traverse City Central just dominated 55-18. And kind of a unique game, Bay City Western came to Grayling and did a walkthrough here at Grayling's Field because the connections with head coach Eric Tunney. So real interesting game for sure. And Western scored a couple of touchdowns early, but just couldn't sustain it as Central made adjustments and dominated.
Hello?
Coach, how are you?
Morning. How are you guys?
Fine, thanks. No profanity. We're live on the air.
So.
It's easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Head coach Eric Sugars of victorious Traverse City Central Trojans. Coach, a huge win, 55-18 overall, but a Bay City Western team that early on scored a couple of touchdowns and it came out ready to play.
Yeah, they're a physical football team, and credit goes to them for that. And, you know, they got some tough players, man. They tackle well, and they came out and be physical, and we had to match that physicality. And, you know, they did some good things with that style offense and knocked us off the ball a little bit. But we responded. I'm just proud of our guys for that. Moving on to the next week.
Yeah, Coach, obviously you got it done numerous ways. Of course, Josh Burnham, the usual suspects, but some great play by other players as well, your wide receivers, your running backs, everybody involved last night in the big win at Thurlby Field.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of talented guys around Josh Burnham, and you saw the article on our offensive line, but you know, we got playmakers surrounding him. We got a great senior-led team like I've talked about before, and it's just a great group of young men and great staff, and I'm proud to earn another week and get after it with these guys.
Yeah, Coach, you get to now you get to go on the road and you play Caledonia, but you're going to not play at their home field as the field isn't in the best of shape. So you get to travel actually out to Granville and take on, like I had mentioned, you know, that Caledonia team.
Yeah, they're a pretty explosive team. You know, they do some things well offensively and defensively, and you know, they had a pretty good record for, obviously down there, and their only loss was to Rockford, which, you know, Rockford's a great program. So, you know, we're gonna have our hands full in that contest. But you know what, our kids know how to travel. So that 2.5 hour trip down to Granville, I think we're certainly excited about that. We'd love to be able to host at Thurlby Field, but we told our kids last night, at the end of that game that you know, when we knew Caledonia won, that was our last opportunity to play on that field, and they certainly made the most of it last night. So it was kind of neat to see those seniors. It was bittersweet. You know, you enjoy that win and district championship, but then also the realization that the last time those guys get to play on that field, and, you know, they went out with a bang, certainly playing at Thurlby Field. But they're certainly going to be ready. You know, we've got our 24-hour period where we enjoy last night's win, and we're going to start preparing for Caledonia, and that's going to start today.
So is that a get-together with the whole team to break down film, give us a little walkthrough on how you start preparing for a Caledonia team that, have you guys ever played them in the history of these schools?
You know, Caledonia's always, you know, I got to go back and look. You know, that we were close to playing them last year in the fact that Shores beat them in the playoffs last season, and then we ended up playing Shores, but I'll have to go back and look at that history. I don't know that history of the Caledonia really well, but I know Coach Pennington's taken over that program, and he's done a nice job down there. And, you know, they got some weapons, and so do we. So, you know, as far as the process goes, it's, you know, we'll certainly meet with our kids tomorrow and start to break down our past film, learn from our past film against Basie Western. But then the focus is certainly more on, you know, Caledonia and what we need to do to be a good football team.
Right. Coach, what do you know about the offense that they run?
You know, they kind of got a dual threat quarterback, a junior quarterback, and they got some weapons around him. Every sophomore running back is pretty talented. And they got a couple of decent wide receivers as well, at least from the offensive side. And I know their defense is, they fly around. They've held opponents to, you know, it seems like opponents don't seem to score as much against them, at least just looking at their scores. But, you know, I guess if you just look at scores only, you know, that only shows half the story. So, you know, I watched a little bit on film on those guys, and they're talented. You know, maybe we're running a physical. And at this point in the season, you're going to run into great teams. You know, you're in the regional finals, and
right.
So, you know, there's great football teams, and so that's the excitement of that. You know, and like our players are ready for that, and our staff certainly is, and we're excited to kind of take that next step and head on to the regional finals.
Coach, obviously, you know, you've got two sides of the ball, or actually three sides when you add in the special teams. But at this time of the year, do you kind of just say, offensively, we are who we are, and we're going to do what we do best, and good luck if you can try to stop us and maybe try to make a little bit more adjustments on defense, depending on what style of offense you got to play?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the good teams don't. You know, it's not like they're reaching deep into the bag to try to find tricks to beat teams. It's, you know, they've basically proven with their record and everything to this point, you know, what good teams do. And so that's us, you know. That's certainly what we're going to continue to do. Obviously, we got to look at the opponent, break them down and see what plays and schemes work for us. But that's something every coaching staff does. And then we look for, you know, matchups that we like and then plays that we like and certainly attack it that way. And that's the great part about high school football. It's every week you get to prepare for that one game on a Friday night and go out and play your best football game. And that's the excitement I told our kids, man, just earning another week with this group. But, you know, I've said it again, this group is a special group, you know, 22 seniors, but just great young men, high character people, you know, very humble in how they approach things. And certainly Josh Burnham leads the way, but man, you know, Carson Bordeaux, you know, Dante Williams is making plays for us on the edge, and, Reed Seabase, the junior running backs, has stepped up, and certainly, like I said, our offensive line. And I tell you, kind of one of those unsung heroes on our defense, you know, is Conrad Dobreff. You know, he stands next to Burnham at the linebacker spot, but that kid has just played lights out for us on the defense side. He's kind of the leader on defense for us, and he's a kid we don't talk about very much, but man, he's the kind of guy that helps our team be successful and win. And there's certainly others, and it's hard to name them all, but I'm just proud of these guys and what they mean to, you know, our school and our program.
Right. Coach, when you say the name Conrad Dobroth, I mean, it harkens back. I'm an old guy, and so I think of Conrad Dobler is what I think of immediately. He was a nasty Hall of Fame player on the offensive line, but that's immediately what comes to mind when you mention the name Conrad Dobroth.
Well, you know, he comes from a football family that played at Michigan, so it's kind of, you know, it's great to have him be a Trojan and play up here, and, you know, it's, like I said, he's one of those special kids. And like I said, we got a bunch of them, but I'm just excited, like I said, to get after it again with these guys.
Now, Coach, and I know that Josh Burnham obviously gets a lot of the attention, being the number two overall recruit in the state of Michigan, all that stuff. Have the kids mentioned, or do you notice on the field, are teams really keying on him or trying to take him out per se, or not injuring per se, but do you hear any chatter and things like that trying to get into his head and trying to, you know, see if he really is the number two overall recruit in the state of Michigan? Is there any of that stuff going on?
Well, I think, you know, between the lines, some of that stuff goes on, but, you know, he's a pretty level-headed kid, and you know, if you look at how we operate pretty quickly. So there's not a lot of chatter pretty much to have, you know, as far as we get going on the ball and offensively. But, you know, teams are going to try to game plan for their best players on the other opponents. And certainly Josh Burnham's our best player, one of our best players. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, you have to prepare for that and know that teams are going to key on him. But that's what I said. Like, this is a team, you know, a Trojan football team. And,
right.
And so we got a lot of athletes and weapons around him, and there's guys that we want to get, you know, get the ball to, and with our offensive line we're certainly able to do that, and we have different schemes and things, and you know, and that's the mark of a good team, and the mark of a good team certainly when you're deep in the playoffs like this is being able to respond and sometimes take what the defense gives you.
Well, we've mentioned this a number of times, Coach, both to you and when we're discussing TC Central footballs. Yeah, obviously Josh is a very talented player and deserves all the kudos that he gets. But I liken him to Michael Jordan. He doesn't seem to ever force things. Kind of lets the game come to him, and when he sees his opportunities, especially like on defense, he's a great defensive football player. But it's not like he's running to the ball. He kind of watches what happens. And he knows he's got a lot of great teammates around him, and if something really needs to be done, then he steps into the breach.
Yeah, you know, there's 11 guys on defense, 11 guys on offense, and so everyone has a role. And I think part of the first half last night was, you know, in our game, you know, which basically Western took advantage of, is we were kind of looking around saying, oh, I got to make this player, I got to do that versus doing our job. And sometimes on defense, you start doing that, and then you're undisciplined, you're out of your gap, and they're blocking it on the field and being more physical, and that's what led to kind of their scores in that second quarter. And you know, and we had a key turnover and interception return. Carson Bordeaux does what he does, you know, he had a kick return and then the interception return, so you know, great play by him. But when you talk about, you know, other guys around Josh, I mean, everybody's got to do their job, you know. And if the D-line, basically we talk about our D-line, they're unsung heroes, right? So the idea that, you know, if they're taking up blocks, our linebackers are running free and being unblocked, and you know,
right,
Dobrat being unblocked sometimes, you know, that allows them to scrape and make plays and play downhill and play fast, which that's a fun way to play defense.
Yeah, Coach, as you know, those offensive linemen and defensive linemen, unless they're getting big-time sacks all the time, those guys just do all the dirty work down there, and those other guys get most of the credit.
Absolutely, and that's what I was, you know, excited about our offensive line, you know, we showcased this week in the Record Eagle, and that was neat. You know, those guys deserve that, and, you know, just a great group of young men, and I'm excited that we can keep going with them.
Oh, that's excellent, Coach. Give them some love.
Coach, very briefly, talk about the mullet situation at TC Central.
I tell you what, you know, you're dealing with high school kids. They're a fun group. You know, they're doing things, and this is a great high school experience being in the playoffs, and that was all them, you know. That's nothing that the coaches even bring up or anything like that. The kids are like, hey, we're going to do this, and then that's something they do on their own, and they came back, and, you know, we had a lot of fun with that, you know, frosted tips and mullets, and, you know, that's something that, yeah, I guess you can look back and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I was a kid once, so I did funny things with my hair, too, so it's just, it's a great experience for them, and it's kind of neat to see those guys, and, you know, it's one, they've earned it, you know, and it's also camaraderie, you know, it builds camaraderie, and, it's something, you know, if a kid wants to do it, hey, why not have some fun with it, and, you know, we're certainly having fun in this process, and moving on.
Well, it's business up front.
That's right.
And the party is in the back.
yeah, that's right, guys.
Oh, that's just great. So it sounds like a great personality on this team as well as a great football team, Coach.
It is. And that's, you know, you love to show up to practice and show up to meetings and be with these guys. And that's a great part about coaching. That's the joy. And I think, you know, if you look at our coaching staff and myself included, that's why we do it. You know, you try to build relationships with these young men and hopefully have a positive impact on them so they can pay dividends later on in their life.
Well, Coach Eric Sugars from Traverse City Central, thanks for joining us all year long on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show, and we look forward to talking to you next week and with another victory in your pocket.
Well, I would like nothing more than that, guys, to be able to talk with you on Saturday after a win. That'd be great.
All right, go Trojans.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for what you do for high school football, and like I said, like I've said before, go Trojans.
All right. Head coach Eric Sugars of Traverse City Central. All right, we're going to go to break now. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne and Rich Calkins. And Rich, you know, obviously the focus for the most part when we do this show is on Northern Michigan,
right.
But we're losing some of our teams.
We are.
We're heading to the big Thanksgiving week. I know Rich doesn't care about football on Thursday. It's the Friday and Saturday stuff that's on now Bally Sports, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I tell my wife, Julie, all the time. Make no plans the day after Thanksgiving and the Saturday after.
Well, Julie just goes shopping. She doesn't care.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Honey, just give me the credit card and you just watch football.
So we had, you know, some fairly shocking results all throughout all eight divisions.
We did. And as you mentioned, in Division One, Rockford and Granville played in the regular season. They're in that same Red Conference down there in the
Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier division.
Yes, exactly. During the regular season, both teams put 99 points on the scoreboard in their game. It was a one-score, double overtime game. Well, that wasn't the case last night, as Rockford dominated from the start and won 38-7 over Granville. Yeah. They're the number one team.
Sometimes you learn something about, you know, whether you can make in-game adjustments.
Yeah.
You get a couple more weeks to do it, and you come up with a better game plan. That's a shocking switch.
It is. And again, a Granville team I was able to watch the week before run that wing T full house backfield, and they ran it really well. And so for Rockford to dominate that game, that was a really impressive win for them. In the other district championship game in their region, Grand Blake scored 49 points on Howell as they won 49-28. And as we continue on downstate, Rochester Adams beat Oxford 42-7. And in kind of a shocker, JC, you and I were talking prior to going on air, West Bloomfield kind of dominated Detroit Catholic Central 35-21.
Yeah, we talked about that game just for a touch yesterday, and you saw that CC team.
Oh, yeah. All 80 of them.
Yeah, all 80 of the kids. You know, that's a borderline collegiate program.
Right.
They send 12 kids to D1 schools almost year in and year out on football scholarships. But West Bloomfield has been turning into a power. West Bloomfield's a huge high school as well.
Yes.
And even though they lost Ralph Bellamy, who had won two state championships in the last 5 years at West Bloomfield,
right.
He went off to join Jim Harbaugh's staff, plus they lost the best running back in the state of Michigan.
Yep, and he's getting some playing time at Michigan.
Yeah, he's been hurt a little bit. I'm sure we'll see him tonight in Indiana. But obviously, when you have that many kids, I'm sure there was 80 kids on both sides of the line. In the reporting, sounds like CC turned the ball over a couple of times. And West Bloomfield moves on in a shocker.
Yes, yeah, no doubt about it. And no shocker that Macomb, Dakota is moving on as they beat Romeo 35-20. Also in that same region, Sterling Heights Stevenson over Chippewa Valley in a tight one, 38-35.
Well, Chippewa Valley has got a great football program.
Yes, they do. Yep, and so they come up 3 points short last night. This game was not in question from start to finish. Belleville over Canton, 41-0.
Wow.
And in the final game in Division I, Dearborn Fordson, 34, Brownstown Woodhaven, 14. That's a team I'm not familiar with at all.
I know Brownstown Woodhaven's combo school now.
Okay.
Actually, Cheryl went to Woodhaven High School.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and Brownstown and Woodhaven is now combined in districts. But, you know, Fordson, that's Robert Salas' school. They've won a number of state championships, a great, great football program for the last 20 years. So not a surprise there.
Yeah.
D2 had some surprises as well.
Yeah, it did. Of course, we already talked to Coach Eric Shiggers from Traverse City Central as they won big over Bay City Western 55-18. And we talked about who they're going to match up against, Caledonia, as they dominated Muskegon Mona Shores 49-12.
Mona Shores is a great athletic across the board.
Yes, they
Football, basketball, hockey. They get great hockey program.
Yes, Muskegon High and Muskegon Mona Shores, both really good, like you said, overall
it's
programs.
A big, good win for Caledonia.
Yes, for sure. Portage Central won 21-7 over Battle Creek Lakeview.
Well, that's not a surprise.
No.
Portage Central, big athletic powerhouse out of Kalamazoo.
Right. South Lyon beat East Lansing 34-13. Also down in the Metroplex of the Detroit area, Waterford Mott 35, Walled Lake Western 21.
That's a surprise. Walled Lake Western, always a good football program.
It is. And in the Battle of Livonia, a one-score game, Livonia Franklin 27, Livonia Churchill 20. So, moving on, and in the final bracket, Roseville all over Port Huron Northern, 41-2.
Wow.
41, so the only
score. Port Huron Northern, usually a pretty good football team.
Yep. Safety was the only thing. And Warren D. LaSalle, they continue on as they beat Grosse Pointe South, 35-20.
Yeah, they're the number one seed, and, you know, part of that Catholic League powerhouse who sent Catholic Central out.
Right.
But D. LaSalle moving on.
Yep.
Then D3, you know, my brother Rice Warriors beat their crosstown rival, St. Mary's.
They did, 32-19. So good win for brother Rice.
Brother Rice beat St. Mary's twice this year. So,
yeah, anytime. Yeah, and as you know, it's hard to beat those teams that you're very familiar with twice in a season. DeWitt at the top of the bracket, DeWitt all over Mount Pleasant. The Oilers' undefeated season has ended as they lost 50-26.
Yeah, well, you saw that DeWitt team, and,
sure
and they're the real deal.
They are. They can score in bunches because they can throw it, they can run it. They're diversified.
So who will DeWitt take on next?
Okay, DeWitt is going to take on there's a game today between Muskegon and Cedar Springs.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking I've got Muskegon in that one.
Yeah.
But that's based on reputation alone.
Yeah.
So we will see that. Also, St. Joseph in a close, low-scoring game. St. Joseph over Stevensville Lakeshore, 17-14. Parma Western, 41. Battle Creek Harper, 28. Mason over Hazlett, 27-21. And, J.C., they will be playing again that Brother Rice win. We talked about that.
I don't know anything about either of those schools. Hazlett is usually got a pretty good program.
Right. And so now Brother Rice will take on Mason, and that game's going to be at Lawrence Tech University.
Great
there.
Field.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
right there on I-75.
You got to like it, man, with the cars zooming by.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And a traditional power also, Detroit Martin Luther King, 33-12 over River Rouge.
Right.
That really was a big Bill game.
Yeah, we talked about that. Both King and Rice moving down from Division II to Division III with less enrollment at the schools.
Yes, exactly. And to close out that bracket, J.C. Allen Park beat Gibraltar Carlson 28-7.
All right, into D4.
Into D4, the land of Cadillac, as they won again 24-14. Coach Cody Mallory joined us earlier, so great win for them. Again, they've got to travel down and take on Hudsonville Unity Christian. Game going to be played at Jenison again. Also, of course, what did Hudsonville Unity Christian do? They only put up 79 points on Grand Rapids Christian.
Holy corolla.
79-21.
Grand Rapids Christian is, generally speaking, a really good those Christian schools in and around. There's a lot of Christian and Catholic schools in the Grand Rapids area. It seems like half of the schools are there. You're going to get to some more of those scores by them in a little bit. That 79 is a lot of points.
That's a lot of points in the second round of the playoffs. Absolutely. And yeah. Cadillac likes to keep a low-scoring game. That's there. So they're going. That defense will be challenged next week.
No doubt.
Yeah. Grand Rapids Christian, they continue on as they won 38-14 over Hastings. Edwardsburg, they put a 50-burger up on Three Rivers as they won 50-0.
Wow.
Yeah. Freeland, 37, Lake Fenton, 6.
Freeland, always good.
Yes.
Always good.
In that other end of the bracket there, Croswell, Lexington, as the matchup there. Actually, that game is going to be played today. But last night, Detroit Country Day, 49, Livonia, Clarenceville, 8.
Defending state champions, Detroit Country Day, lost a lot of kids. We'll see if they can keep it going.
Right, and then Chelsea won big 49-12 over Milan. So that was Division 4.
Into 5.
Into Division 5. Of course, Kingsley, we talked about them. They won big over Clare, 32-6. Frankenmuth won, and that's who Kingsley's going to take.
That's the big matchup. Should be the spotlight game.
Right. Yep. Frankenmuth won 37-7 over Saginaw Swan Valley. Muskegon Oak Ridge, another traditional power out of Muskegon, they won 58-22 over Howard City Tri-Country.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. And Grand Rapids Catholic Central, a good team, and they beat Grand Rapids West Catholic 44-6. Kalamazoo Hackett continues on as they beat Berrien Springs 21-14.
That would have been a really good football game.
Yes, and in another good game, Portland beat Olivet 35-28. So Corona continues to move on. They won 20-8 over Armada, and Marine City continues to move on as they won 49-6 to round out that the rest of the Division 5 scores.
On to 6.
On to 6. Excuse me. In the battle of the Keweenaw Peninsula, or at least Calumet won as they beat Negaunee 24-19. Of course, Negaunee just outside of Marquette there,
right.
But Calumet up there, so they continue, and that's who Calumet travels down to take on Standish Sterling.
Oh.
And Standish, of course, won 34-14 with Boyne City. And thank you, Chad Patterson, for sending me some information on that Boyne City game. According to the Petoskey News, Boyne City jumped out and scored the first two touchdowns. And we're up 14-0. And Standish Sterling just stayed the course, continued to move on. And they actually took the lead 21-14 at half. And never look back. There's, I guess, a real talented quarterback for Standish, a 6'4 wide receiver that's really talented as well. So those guys kind of dominated that game.
In high school, when you can really chuck it well, it's almost the death knell. It really is. You know, with the way you can get pass interference calls, and you got somebody 6'4 who's got good hands.
At Division 6, too.
Oh, it doesn't matter what division it is.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've seen 6'4 receivers Division 1 and 2, and then if you can have that height and talent.
You still never have the DBs to match up with wideouts. It's probably the biggest glaring thing in high school, because great DBs that end up in college and the pros were wide receivers in high school.
Yes.
So unless you're playing both ways, then, that's the one thing that is hard to defend in high school.
It is, because high school defensive backs, and I've watched them for years, they think they can turn and flip their hips with a receiver when they're next to them. And what, you wait too long. When you do that, the kid's by you already. You don't have the makeup speed to turn around and start running with them.
Yeah, and generally speaking, you don't see it in practice because, you know, 90% of the teams have a running attack. So,
exactly. Yep.
Yeah, it's really difficult to replicate in practice. And then you're sunk. I could get into, you know, a ton of stories about it. But just jumping ahead real quick, Rich, we're running up against it. We're going to have Keith Gabe on the phone with us.
Okay.
St. Francis plays today.
They do, yes, absolutely. As they take on, let me see here, JC, the Saturday game. Here we have two local teams. We have Charlevoix taking on Ishpeming Westwood as well. Again, St. Francis hosts McBain. Today
McBain.
But St. Francis, the favorite in that one, that'll be played at Thurlby Field, and Charlevoix traveling up to the west side of the Upper Peninsula, taking on Ishpeming Westwood.
D7, any local teams, Northern Michigan teams?
Oh, yeah. We, real quick, in a game that Montague and Reed City. Montague won that game 35-22.
Had to have been a hell of a football game.
At Reed City. So, yeah, that's a very interesting score. Of course, Montague, the defending state champs in Division 6.
Reed City had a great year.
A great year. And Montague lost a lot of players. So, good for them to continue to move on. See, we've got no other, of course, the usual Jackson, Lumen, Christie won in Division 7. The two teams left in Northern Michigan are Charlevoix and Traverse City St. Francis. And, again, both playing today, Division 8.
Sutton's Bay won again, I think.
Real quick, we're going, that's in the eight-man division.
Eight-man football, yeah.
Beale City moves on. They won 41-6 over Iron Mountain. And that's the last Carson City Crystal over Muskegon Heights. So that's the last of the a little Northern Michigan flavor here. Ottawa Lake Whiteford continues to move on. Jay Mensing is the head coach. He coached here at Grayling at one point. He won a state championship a couple years ago. They're one of the teams to beat in Division 8 this year.
All right. There you go, Rich. Go take a sip of coffee.
No kidding.
We've got some messages from our fine partners here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. And when we return, we'll have our good friend Keith Gabe on the phone with us. He's making an appearance in Traverse City today.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And for the last few minutes of the show, JC, we're going to our radio brother of ours, Keith Gabe, will be joining us as he's over in Traverse City right now, and a book signing and some other cool stuff going on.
Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
Going good.
Well, Rich is trying to catch his breath after spitting out 37 different high schools. It was truly a scoreboard show today.
It was, yeah.
Woo. I'll bet. Listen, I'm at Legends North here in Traverse City. It opens up at noon today, but lots of stuff going on. It's a grand opening celebration of a really cool memorabilia and card shop. Spent some time in there already this morning getting set up, and you walk into a shop like that, and it brings your whole life back to you. All those childhood memories of baseball cards and, you know, signed jerseys and bats and all kinds of stuff. It's really cool. And the big news, Mickey Stanley, the hero of the 1968 World Series champion Detroit Tigers, will be here from 1 to 2:30 signing autographs. So lots going on here today.
Now, Keith, did you bring something for the Mick to sign?
No. JC, I'm not very good at that. I've never asked an athlete for an autograph ever in my life. Unless, you know, the Wings dressing room, special occasion, sick, you know, kids or whatever. I've asked a few favors like that, but never anything for me. I'm just looking forward to talking with Mickey Stanley, one of the most intriguing athletes in Detroit sports history, you know, because that 68 World Championship team. He was the Gold Glove center fielder whom Mayo Smith moved from center field to shortstop for that seven-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals. It was a great move because you could have fill up the outfield with Jim Northrup in center and Willie Horton in left, who made a great play, and Al Kaline in right, who had some key hits in that series. So it was one of the gutsiest moves in sports history. And I'm looking forward to just talking to Mickey about that alone. But that whole era of Detroit Tigers history when I was a kid, a lot of fun to reminisce about, that's for sure.
I was actually going to ask you, I gave you that 1968 Tigers program that Al Kaline signed. I should have told you that Mickey signed it as well.
You know what? I dropped the ball. I got that tucked away. I'm keeping really good care of it. And honestly, I never thought about it, and I should have.
I occurred to me, like, it would have been pretty cool to get Mickey's Mickey's signature on that as well. Yeah.
Hey.
Oh yeah, because his picture's in there.
Yeah, of course.
Well, and Keith, one of the photos of Mickey Stanley that stood out to me as a kid growing up in Northern Michigan and being a diehard Tigers fan was the picture of Mick going up and over the fence, flipping over the fence.
Oh.
It was in one of the. What, I don't know.
It's Jim Northrup that fell over the stands, not Mickey Stanley.
I thought that there was a picture. Keith, what do you?
Well, I recall Jim Northrup making a play like that. I'm not sure about Mickey Stanley. I'm sure he made plays like that.
Right.
There are a lot of people who think he was the best defensive center fielder in Detroit Tigers history.
Okay.
That's saying a lot, but it's also I think. Accurate.
Yeah. No. Well, in the dimensions of the fence and everything in Tiger Stadium were really unique.
Oh.
I mean,
440
feet from dead center field to home plate. One of the most expansive outfields in baseball.
Yeah, it's I know how important that 68 Tigers team is to you and so many others. So to have the opportunity to get a picture, have a quick conversation with Mickey, and also to talk to Keith, it's almost like having the Russian Five right there. Nobody knows more about Detroit Red Wings hockey, especially in their glory years, than you do. I won't be surprised if Mickey is jabbering in your ear a little bit, Keith, about some of those great Red Wings teams.
Well, I hope so. I my guess is he's a sports fan, and that's the most fun thing to do, JC. When I do a little bit of cross pollinization, I guess you'd call it, talking with athletes in other sports. I remember Jim Harbaugh in the Detroit Red Wings dressing room, Kirk Gibson coming in to skate with those guys, Jack Morris, and so on. And then when I went to the Detroit Lions dressing room, say on a Thanksgiving day, and Billy Ford comes up and wants to pick my brain about what the Red Wings are doing, and so on. It's really kind of fun to have conversation with those guys, about other sports. Cause most of those guys who play professional sports are big time fans of other sports. And my guess is, Mickey Stanley is probably, everybody's a Red Wings fan, for the last 30 years or so, right?
Well, I'll never forget the first time we had George Blaha come to the broadcast tent for the Savo River Canoe Marathon, and him and Paul Woods just jabbing away with each other.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They're picking each other's brains about different sports. George is asking Paul about the Red Wings, and Paul's talking Michigan State football and Pistons basketball with George. It was kind of fun to just eavesdrop on that conversation, wasn't
Rich
it?
Rich trying to see if I can get anybody. Can I get you guys something to drink?
Exactly, yeah. And those guys, of course, with huge long histories with all those programs as well. So that's, it's truly like a walking encyclopedia when you talk to those guys.
So any of you sports lovers that are listening to us on 101.1 in the Traverse City area, or it doesn't matter, Kalkaska, whatever, a great opportunity to see some of the fantastic memorabilia, meet one of the true Detroit sports legends. You can get a book signed by Keith Gave, and we're heading into Christmas season. So I remember when we did this book signing a couple years ago, how many people were getting the Russian Five for people that they love for Christmas.
Yeah, thank you, JC. It's been out, almost, it'll be 4 years.
Wow.
in March. It seems like only yesterday, but, it continues to sell, and you're right. People, I just ran into a couple of people today, in the last week, who asked me if I had some copies left over because they want to give them out as Christmas gifts. So, you know, that's kind of cool. I really, really, really appreciate it.
And I know that you'll be checking in with Roadrunner over on Q100, so we'll keep the mojo going and give our, make sure you get a great picture with you and Mickey. We're going to need that.
Sure will. Sure will, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Where's that located at? Where's Legends North again?
Oh, it's at, 1216 South Garfield Road, in Traverse City. Almost right across the street from the Golden Power store. So, there in Traverse City. Okay. And it opens at noon, and, I'm not sure when it closes, but I'll be there much of the afternoon.
And if you want to get on Keith's good side, bring him a Starbucks and a black coffee.
Right.
Oh, please.
you're speaking his language now.
I know Keith. All right, thanks, bud.
Thanks, boys.
All right, thanks, Keith.
You bet. Take care.
All right.
Well,
Keith,
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Cool event over at Legends North in Traverse City. So, cool that Keith is over there. Like you said, Mickey Stanley going to be there. JC, just an awesome day in Traverse City.
Yeah, no doubt. If I didn't have to play nurse to my wife, I'd be heading over there myself.
Right.
Mickey Stanley. I'll tell you a quick story about Mickey Stanley. Rich, that my dad and Bill Freehan were business partners.
Yes.
Now, Mickey Stanley was one hell of a good-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Tom Selleck good-looking.
Right.
And with that Tigers World Series championship and everything else, all those guys got, it seems like when they retired from baseball, other than Al Kaline, Gates Brown and Freehan and Mickey Stanley all got into the manufacturer's rep business.
Okay.
So they would rep auto parts to the big three.
Sure.
You know, and that was what the business that my dad was in. Well, it turns out that one of my closest and dearest friends from Brother Rice went to General Motors Institute, and then he had a big job in the parts department at General Motors. So Mickey Stanley invited Jim to play with him at the Invitational at Oakland Hills.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
And Jim was like piddling in it. I'm like, Jerry, what do? I go, oh, my God, Mickey Stanley. I go, what did you say yes? I go, what do you mean? I said, do you even play golf? Because now, well, you're going to need to help me.
Right.
No, and so I spent 3 weeks.
Crash course?
Yeah, trying to get Jim Sliney's game ready to play with Mickey Stanley. And
wow.
And I actually met Mick with Jim. I went over there one day before they're teeing it up, and I was a caddy at Oakland Hills for a long time.
Right.
And they didn't do so well.
No.
But, you know, Mickey never said one thing about why'd you miss that putt. Or...
Right. Just, yeah. Well, that's cool. Like you said, what a moment for him. Like you said, and feeling the pressure. If you're not a golfer.
4 straight days, 6 hours a day with Mickey Stanley on the golf course.
Yeah. Yeah, you better entertain him in other ways than at that point.
You better be buying a big GM parts contract.
That's exactly right, because if you don't get it done on the course, there's other means that we can work this out.
So, you know, if you get the opportunity, stop by Legends North over there on Garfield across the street from Golden Fowler. Say hello to Keith for us, and we'll be back with you next week.
That's right here on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio, right back here at 10 o'clock next Saturday.
And don't forget, we have our bigger sports conversation every Friday from 10 to 11. It's called Friday Face-Off, Keith in the studio with Rich and I. Michigan is at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, late one.
Yeah, you know, I think they're actually blocking. I got to watch